From the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Today on the program, we're taking a look back to last weekend, April 25th through the 27th, as Lancaster welcomed the 5th annual Launch Music Conference. Along with our friends Sam Campbell from Gig Spots and Jennifer Dunn at the Candy Factory, the Wood Stove House sponsored a musician's lounge. All day Friday and Saturday, we were hanging out in the cozy Candy Factory on the 300 block of North Queen Street as Launch conference goers stopped by for coffee, snacks, a few impromptu jam sessions, and a lot of rich conversation for this podcast. Here's one of our guests, Randy Buxner, on the Launch Music Conference.
The thing I like the best is just that the proximity of everything. So it's like these musicians all invade town, and it's all right there. So you walk around downtown, and here are these, you know, people from all over wandering around, and just sort of the energy it brings to town. Also, it's kind of like the welcome to spring as well. You know, it's always April, here comes the Launch Music Conference.
Coming up, we're talking about the Launch Music Conference with Denny Gauthier, Ken Mueller, Randy Buxner, Mike McMonagle, Canyon, Aaron Gagne, Christopher Brooks, Douglas Thomas, Adam Rohr from the Pig Merchants, Mark DeRose, Gordon Smoker, Lee J, and Jay and Logan from Rock Paper Records. Also on the program, Barry Kornhauser from Millersville University brings us our monthly MU Arts Update. It's a jumbo episode of Around the Wood Stove with a ton of great conversation and diverse perspectives about the Launch Music Conference 2013. But first, let's find out what's happening around the wood stove. Tonight, Monday, May 6th, don't miss Music Mondays at The Fridge with Secondhand Suits. The Fridge is Lancaster's premier craft beer and specialty pizza shop. They've partnered with Series 42 to bring intimate concerts on a select Monday evening each month. The Secondhand Suits are a gypsy jazz, blues, folk, and pop rock quartet from right here in Lancaster who put on an amazing live show. Tickets for this show are $15. Doors at 6:30. Music starts at 7 p.m. It's Music Monday with the Secondhand Suits live at The Fridge, 534 North Mulberry, right here in Lancaster. It's brought to you by our friends at Series 42. Two big house concerts coming up in the next 2 weeks in Lancaster. This Friday, May 10th, Woodstove House welcomes Nashville songwriting duo Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart. We hosted Stacy and Mark last August for one of our benefit concerts, and they were outstanding. We still have a few seats left for this concert, so email me, jason@woodstovehouse.com, to make your reservations. It's a $20 suggested donation per seat for Stacy Earle and Mark Stewart, Friday, May 10th at 7 p.m. at the Woodstove House. Then on Friday, May 17th, 7 p.m., Chestnut House Concerts welcome Lindsay Liu and the Flatbellies. Lindsay is accompanied by her husband Joshua Rilko on mandolin, Mark Lavengood on dobro, Keith Billick on banjo, and Spencer Kane on bass. This Michigan-based band has distinct vocals, tight harmonies, instrumental expertise, and creative arrangements, which are all essential characteristics of their unique sound. You can check out chestnuthouseconcerts.com. Or link up to the show post for today's episode for more information on both of these great house concerts coming up in Lancaster. It's time once again for our monthly update to find out what's happening at the Ware Center and Winter Center from Millersville University Arts. The Ware Center is the university's visual and performing arts center in downtown Lancaster, and the Winter Center is the visual and performing arts center on the university's main campus. This month, we welcome Barry Kornhauser back to the program with his picks for May. Barry is the university's Family Arts Collaborative Manager. It's the MU Arts Update on Around the Wood Stove. Barry, welcome back to the program. We're talking about events at Millersville in May, both the Ware Center and the Winter Center. But as the school year winds down, I expect the arts program to be winding down as well. Is that accurate?
That's accurate, although, of course, it's going to go out in fast and furiously, as they say.
So. What do you have lined up for us?
May 6th begins one of two of the Monday movies, and on the 6th, showing at 5 and 7:30, is a great little film called Liberal Arts. The next movie is not until the Monday, the 20th of May, and that's a great French film called Little White Lies. It was a big box office sensation there with a sparkling ensemble, kind of a dramatic comedy.
Excellent.
And then, after the movies, there's a lot of stuff from Millersville itself, the students' work. The orchestra is performing in concert with guest artist Paul Jacobs at the Winter Center on the 10th at 7:30. Their choral ensemble is doing a concert called Songs for Spring on the 11th at 7:30, also at the Winter Center. And then there are other musical things that are really worth watching. Opera Lancaster is performing at the Winter Center as well, both on the 10th and the 11th, with Faust. Powerful piece that they're going to do wonderfully well. And then there's also a cabaret called Too Marvelous, The Songs of Johnny Mercer, being performed by a fellow named Dan Stitt. And of course, Johnny Mercer was the lyricist of these great old tunes like Accentuate the Positive and Alexander's Ragtime Band and One for My Baby. So that should be a really fun
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yep. And then, of course, there's also dance. There's a great Cobalt Dance Company. And I'm really fond of Cobalt because they do really wonderful work. And they're also doing a lot of great, meaningful work. They're, for example, official associates of the Mark Morris's Dance for PD program, PD standing for Parkinson's disease. And so they run a class for dancers with Parkinson's disease at the Winter Center, and that's a program that's continuing on. This concert, however, will just be more of the sort of stuff you expect from a young classical company.
When is that dance performance?
Cobalt Dance is performing on Saturday and Sunday, the 18th and 19th.
Excellent.
Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 2:30. Those are both at the Winter Center, those performances.
Okay.
And the last thing that's going to happen here in May is runs Thursday through Sunday, May 30th and actually into June 2nd, and that's Theater for Transformations Emancipation Suite. Amanda Kemp has created this piece. It's actually pretty impressive in the sense that it's all-encompassing. It's, of course, celebrating the 150th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation, but Amanda is including in there some of the work that W.E.B. Du Bois did in a pageant in honor of the 50th anniversary, and, of course, Martin Luther King's speech on the 100th anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. It will also have virtuoso violinist Michael DeGermanis and a multimedia performance with the entire text of the proclamation and a music by Bach, of all people, too. So it's a great look at the past that will also ask what we will create with our future.
Yeah, I saw the in January or February, they had done shorter runs.
Sort of workshop performances.
Yeah,
of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was fantastic. We saw it at the YWCA on Martin Luther King.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's a, I'm really excited about that program coming.
So again, lots of diverse stuff going on in all sorts of performing arts areas.
So what happens now with the performing arts centers as the school takes its summer break?
Yeah, well, there'll be things going on, and including a lot of sort of camp programs in the arts. So both here at the Ware Center and at the Winter Center, there are going to be camps for kids in grades 2 to 5 and those entering grades 5 to 8 in theater, in dance, and in music with some of the finest teaching artists in the community. And we're also offering them a real bargain price so that they're accessible to folks. And of course, there'll be scholarships available too. I'll be running my MU Theater, which is a mixed ability teen group that performs social justice plays that they create, and that will be occupying a bit of the building here in the month of July and taking the show on the road, so to speak, getting ready for the fall.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the monthly update.
Mm-hmm.
Great to see you again.
Great to see you, Jason.
Don't miss out on all of the great arts events happening at the Ware Center and the Winter Center. All details can be found at millersville.edu/muarts. On April 25th through the 27th, downtown Lancaster became a hotbed for live music as the Lancaster County Convention Center played host to the 5th annual Launch Music Conference and Festival. Launch organizers, along with the Mayor's Office of Special Events and several other community organizations, coordinated this yearly event that brought hundreds of musicians, music industry professionals to town for 2 days of music business workshops and panels, and live music showcases on over a dozen stages on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. Each year, the conference gets bigger and better, and this year was no exception. For this year's Launch Music Conference, Woodstove House teamed up with Sam Campbell from GigSpots, an online clearinghouse for bands, live music venues, and music fans, and Jennifer Dunn from The Candy Factory, Lancaster's premier co-working space, all to host the Launch Lounge. We set up shop in the back section of the Candy Factory and offered coffee, snacks, and a place to relax or join some impromptu acoustic jams all day on Friday and Saturday. The goal was to host a place where conference attendees could take a break and recharge throughout the day. Each of the days was filled with really fun jams and great conversation about music, Lancaster, and the Launch Music Conference itself. As always, my favorite part of Launch is meeting and spending time with like-minded creatives. This year I got to catch up with old friends and make some new ones too. Getting things started on our Launch 2013 recap is one of those new friends. Denny Gauthier came to Launch all the way from Ontario, Canada. He made the most of his time in Lancaster performing at an official Launch showcase, along with a pre-launch party on Thursday evening and a Ruby Red house concert on Sunday evening, the day following the conference. Then he stopped by the lounge on Friday, along with Lancaster social media guru Ken Mueller. Here's Denny Gauthier on Around the Wood Stove.
So tell me, from your perspective, what's it like as a working musician, full-time working musician, to play a conference? You know, essentially, you're playing for free. It's a 30-minute thing. Yeah. You got to travel. What's the benefit? Why do you do it?
The house shows that I'm going to play surrounding it, that's the benefit, because I get face-to-face with real people. I get an hour and a half where I get to communicate and sing music that I think can mean something to them.
Yeah.
And I get to connect on that level. There is certainly a place for Launch, you know, and it's a place to discover new music, and it's really cool to do. But for me personally, it's like 10% of what I'm here for.
So you've been in Lancaster for like a day.
Day, yeah.
What do you think?
I love it. Like, people have mustaches and beards here.
We're a well facially haired town.
Yes, there's lots of good tattoos.
Some people don't.
I feel left out. I have no tats, no facial hair.
We can work
on time.
Yeah.
Can I get a beard and mustache tattooed on my face?
That's called killing two birds with one stone, right?
I've seen it happen.
Oh, yeah. I think I'll do that.
Yeah, right. On the you've probably seen that on the article called 10 Worst Tattoo Ideas.
Exactly. Crackedmagazine.com.
Talk about the music for a little bit. So I've never heard you play before. I'm a brand new listener. Tell me about your music.
You know, like, people ask me what kind of genre I am, and I've always had trouble communicating that. It's indie folk.
Okay. That gets you there, right?
With some rock. You know, I like to play my electric now and then, but
Are you primarily a solo acoustic artist?
Yeah, primarily.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm not the best. Like, songwriting, I would say, is my gift. If I were to say I'm working within my gifting, it's because I'm a songwriter. I'm a multi-instrumentalist, bass player first and foremost. And I learned guitar because I wanted to be able to go and play gigs.
Yeah.
And make a living. Yeah.
Do you play with a band back home?
I do.
And a lot of people do that. A lot of people, yeah. Right, they tour solo or duo, and then they've got the full band back home.
Yeah, I do a lot of duo gigs with my piano player.
Okay.
He sings back up, and he's brilliant.
So where exactly are you from?
I live in St. Thomas, okay. Ontario.
All right, how far is that from Toronto?
About an hour and a half.
Okay. So you're in town for Launch. Tell me about the shows you have played and will be playing.
Played last night in the community room.
Okay.
Fun with Matt Wheeler. And it was good. It was a fun show. Nashville songwriters in the round kind of style, where you switch up.
Yeah.
You play a song, I play a song kind of thing. Which I found is hard to keep the mojo going, right? It's because you're like jumping in and now like...
Yeah, and then you're shifting gears and depending
shifting
on...
Gears back and forth. So
depending on the chemistry of the people you're playing with, like, yeah. Does it flow well as a show?
Yeah, and Matt is a funny guy, so we joked. But I found that, like, you know, like, for example, on Sunday when I play at the Ruby House concert... you know, when I have an hour and a half, I can move seamlessly through, you know, what I want to say, you know, and I can move from song to song, and it's a lot smoother. Yeah. I just feel more comfortable doing that.
Cool. Well, it's great to have you in Lancaster.
Thanks, man.
Glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here. I'll keep coming back.
Here's I Am Hope from Denny Gauthier on Around the Wood Stove.
I see my life been changed. arms of strength that hold you tight. I am home.
The conversation with Denny and Ken continued with a chat about the Launch Music Conference and the Lancaster music scene.
The one thing that I don't think that local bands appreciate, because there are not a lot of local bands who participate in Launch.
There isn't?
No. When I was looking through the list of bands,
there's maybe a dozen.
And there's a lot of local bands here.
There's a lot.
There's a great music scene in this area.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I mean, Dana Alexander is playing. The Districts are playing. Katie Glorioso, Texas in July. Who are some of the other locals?
So there's like 5% local bands.
Yeah, like Mark DeRose,
Matt Wheeler.
Right. But, I think we could kind of consider Harrisburg, York, Lancaster, like bands from this mm-hmm. area, right, yeah. as local bands. And a lot of the bands I talk to, they're just kind of like, hey, why would I pay $40 to go and play the same room I'm going to play next weekend?
And get paid for.
Yeah, and I get that.
Yeah.
But what they fail to realize is if everybody in this music scene took this one weekend and played ambassador and good host
yeah.
to these bands that are coming in here, it's going to open up so many doors for you when you go out there.
Absolutely.
Because most people are regional, right? Most bands aren't coming from California.
That's right.
They're coming from Boston, Toronto, maybe at the furthest away, Boston, Nashville, Tennessee, which is 10 hours or whatever. That's this big circle, right, that bands will travel through.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of opportunity, a lot of Pittsburgh bands, from Baltimore, like it's got a lot of opportunity to
make
network.
Some friends.
Exactly, yeah. Like it's the networking part that really changes the game. And so when you pay that $40 or whatever, if you have four people in the band, it's $10 a band member. Come on, you're gonna go to Starbucks tomorrow, right?
Right.
You're gonna spend $10 each, right?
Yeah.
Or so it's like I just feel like that it's underutilized from the local perspective.
Hmm. Yeah, musicians need to work together.
Absolutely,
100%, because There's this jealousy thing. Like, if somebody maybe breaks out or if somebody seems to be doing well, it's like, oh, I wish I could do that. Well, get to know those people, figure out how they do that, do it. They should help you because mm-hmm. the more people playing music, the better off it is, because the more people who are going to go and see live music and actually help fund that sort of thing, it's really important.
Absolutely. And raises the whole scene.
Absolutely.
That's one of the things I think that's cool about the Lancaster music scene, at least as a non-musician, I see how the local musicians do work together. You know, like even in the past year, seeing, Stephen Courtney and, Mark DeRose getting together and doing more stuff, and that whole group of people who maybe didn't have any connections really beforehand. I feel like, when I was at the Chameleon more and doing shows there, that I would see a lot of bands coming out and supporting other bands. And it'd be nice to see them supporting people from out, like you said, from out of the area.
I just think they don't get connections. That. Yeah.
And I have seen a little bit. You know, again,
Matt did a good job.
Yeah.
Matt's a great ambassador.
Matt's done a great job of that. And back in the day, Hiram Ring, when he was still doing stuff around here, and he brought Joy Ike in.
Yeah.
And Joy has become, Lancaster's like a second home for her. And Brooke Annabelle and some of the others that came in. That was really cool. And that's how I got to meet Joy. I like seeing that kind of thing happen because it will. You know, I think that brotherhood of musicians is necessary for making those connections.
Absolutely. And what's happening in this town right now, which is really exciting, is that in the whole creative community, so not just the music community, but in the theater community and the arts community. Yeah, and really just small business owners who have an interest in such a thing. Everybody's trying to do their thing, right? So I open a store, a gallery, or I have an organization that does concerts or whatever. Everybody's trying to be successful, but they're also keeping an eye on the bigger picture mm-hmm. and saying, if we contribute somehow to the community, if we keep that in mind as part of our mission, then the whole thing, the whole scene gets raised to the next level.
It's a key factor.
Yeah, and this is a city right now that wants to succeed as a whole.
Mm.
Which is really, really cool to be a part of that. Next up, a conversation with two local Lancaster musicians, music journalists, and music promoters. We're looking back at the Launch Music Conference 2013 with conversations from the Gig Spots and Wood Stove House Launch Lounge at the Candy Factory. This is Around the Wood Stove. Randy Buxner and Mike McMonagle.
Hey.
It's not Mickle time, but Mickle is in the house. welcome to the program. Celebrating the fifth annual launch. The thing about the launch music conferences was that the first one, wasn't the first one at the Brunswick?
It was.
It was.
And it was new. And I remember hearing about it like that day.
I was not even living in Lancaster at that time, and I'd missed out on it completely. It was something I heard about maybe even a couple weeks later. People asking me what.
Were you still in Virginia then? And mm-hmm. I think the first time we met is when you played over at Dipco for one of Tony's singer-songwriter evenings.
Yeah, and that was actually when I had just moved. That was 2 months after I had moved home. That was the first time that I played in Lancaster of my own music like that.
I remember it well.
The first launch conference happened on Spring Art Walk weekend, and I was playing outside at Gallery 141 as part of Art Walk, and I remember people talking about this launch thing. And I ended up at Building Character. Josh Albright was playing a set.
So you see that? And that was the first one. So I don't know where I've lost one, because we played that same, it was a Friday night. We played that same night as Josh Albright. I played with the Mainstream Mystics. And I remember sitting in, we did Superstition. I whipped out my horn and played with Josh, you know. But the fact that it's year five or whatever year it is, that it keeps going on is just excellent and a real testament to the music scene in town.
Yes, and every year it gets better. This year is no exception. Last night I was at Dipco, saw three really great sets. The Pig Merchants from here, Canyon from Connecticut, with
Love
two
Tank.
Local musicians sitting in, Aaron Gagne and Taylor Brandt on violin, and then Holly Spears from Nashville.
I met Holly this morning, actually. And,
I did not stay around. I didn't realize there was another set after, but I'm sorry. She was
oh,
really
after
good.
Canyon, yeah. So, Randy, what are you up to this year for launch? What are you doing?
So this year, for the first one I can remember, my band is not playing. You know, we kind of did that 3 years in a row. I am representing Tri-State as a contributor. We'll be covering some shows for Tri-State Indie. And you talk about networking. And I met Steph Seipel. Steph, of course, Steph and Rich started Tri-State about 3 or 4 years ago. They were doing sound. She was working for, I forget what company Rich worked for out of Effort.
Illusion Sound.
Illusion.
Money, yeah.
They were running sound at Binns Park for a great band from Oakland that came in. And we started talking, and I was doing a lot of volunteering for XPN, which I still do. And so now I've been with, Tri-State since their, beginnings, and happened to be with Tri-State working at this festival, at this conference.
Who are you going to be interviewing?
You know, I'm not really sure yet. I know the one I have, and I'm actually sitting in with them as well, is the Shackletons. My friend the Shackletons have a new lineup. They're signed with Chad Taylor's company. So I'm looking forward to seeing them this evening. I'm looking for some bands I haven't heard before to possibly interview and just come. And I don't know whether it'll be in the shape of interviews or just some general coverage. Some days I'll just do a launch wrap-up or something like that. So we'll see what comes my way, but took off from work today early and just going to wander around, see as much music as I can over today and tomorrow, and see what I come up with.
You're sitting with Sweet Lita tonight,
Got
too.
Sweet Lita at 9:30. I have a busy schedule, for an
You're
old
busy guy.
Busy guy. For an old guy, I get around. I have Sweet Lita. I think they're about 9:15 or 9:30. I want to see Foxy Shazam, who I keep hearing great things about and have checked them out online. And then it ends the night. I think the Shackletons are like 11:45 at Chameleon. So I'll probably need a nap.
Mikkel, you played last night, right?
I did play last night.
Tell me about the show.
It was diverse. I was proud to be the lone acoustic act. it was a showcase put together by buddy Jay Tran from Rock Paper Records.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And he and I have been talking. Our relationship had started when I was at Fly, and I did some coverage of some of his bands, and covered the beginnings of their company as well. Just my market that I focused in on mainly was Harrisburg. So over the years, year and a half now, he and I kept in touch, and I ran into him at the Tri-State Indie Awards, and he said that he had a couple spots left to fill in his showcase. He asked if I was playing at launch, and I said this was the first year I was not going to do it. And then he was like, well, hey, you don't have to register or anything, just I'd be happy to have you on our showcase. I was like, yeah, sure.
So you're doing it.
So I did it, and I did it. It was great. It was in the Lizard Lounge, and
cool.
I had a blast. I played. It was actually funny. My older brother Joey was coming in He was at a soccer game that he got to the show for probably my last song, and I saw him coming in, and I saw another Jamie Fuddy, who owns The Fridge. He and my brother used to be in a punk rock band called The Program some years ago. So I saw them there, and my last song that I played last night was an old Program song.
Nice.
And they just started laughing hysterically, and so it was. I had fun with it, you know.
Cool. Tell me, Randy, what's your favorite thing about Launch Music Conferences?
The thing I like the best is just that the proximity of everything. So it's like these musicians all invade town, and it's all right there. So you walk around downtown, and here are these, you know, people from all over wandering around, and just sort of the energy it brings to town. Also, it's kind of like the welcome to spring as well. You know, it's always April, here comes Launch Music Conference. So I would say that's one of the things that always knocks me out, is just, you know, seeing people walk around. And then, of course, just going from venue to venue and hearing, you know, bands you've never heard before. How about you? What do you like best about?
That's a great question. To me, Launch is about, you know, getting an opportunity to meet people. From out of town, musicians who are, you know, just sort of poking around, and they're being introduced to Lancaster, and maybe they heard about Lancaster, but, you know, we get to say, hey, look how cool this place is, and let me show you around, let me recommend a restaurant, let's go have lunch, that sort of thing. That's my favorite part of it, is meeting new friends. And you know what, I get turned on to some local bands every year.
I know, I'll be looking. I still have a slot or two to fill for that World Cafe show in June. I'm like leaving it open to see if I find someone I've not heard before.
It's always kind of a cool surprise of the bands that I haven't heard of that are from Lancaster. Maybe they're new on the scene and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I might not end up at a show where they're playing if it's just them playing. But with Launch, it's like there's a reason that you're out and you're just sort of checking out different things and popping in. So if somebody grabs your attention, you're like, okay, you make a note, and then you come back to
it. It's perfect for someone with ADD like I have. I mean, it's like you're all over
the place.
You're
kind of in your element.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Just buzzing from place to place.
Hey, thanks for stopping in at the lounge.
The lounge is awesome. If no one's been here before, I mean, the lounge is about as comfortable and friendly of a place you can go, and certainly a rock and roll haven this weekend in Lancaster.
So. Big jam session going on here today.
We had a little jam going on, and I'm sure more jamming will be happening.
That's it, man.
There's popcorn, freshly popped popcorn. I mean, what else could you want? Brewed coffee. I mean, might as well camp out. I should have brought my sleeping bag. We'll camp out here all night.
Thanks, Randy.
Thank you, Jason.
I'm Jason Mundock, and this is Around the Wood Stove. Each week, we bring you interviews with artists and those who make the arts happen in and around Lancaster, Pennsylvania. If you like the show, please let us know. Drop me a line at jason@woodstovehouse.com with any comments, questions, or suggestions. The podcast is and always will be free, so if you really like the show, consider joining other supporters of the program and drop a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. The tip jar is located in the top right corner of our website, woodstovehouse.com. Today on the program, we're taking a look back at the Launch Music Conference 2013 with conversations from the Launch Lounge that was hosted by Gig Spots, The Candy Factory, and The Woodstove House. Three-time Launch performer Canyon from Connecticut, along with Lancaster musicians violinist Christopher Brooks and percussionist Aaron Gagne, joined us for a jam and a conversation right here on Around the Wood Stove. We just finished a fascinating jam. Very good, fun jam with Canyon from Connecticut, from Connecticut.
Yep.
Right?
Like a little CT.
Aaron Gagne, Christopher Brooks from here in Lancaster, myself. That's the spirit of what we're doing here at the Launch Lounge at the Candy Factory. Canyon, this is your, how many Launch conferences have you been to? The third?
My third, yeah.
What brings you, what keeps you coming back?
What keeps me away is, I think, the bigger question right now is, how come I'm not here all the time? Well, they just keep letting me come back. So, you know, I'll play. I kind of try to live by the motto, I'll play anywhere and everywhere that will let me play. I'll play to two people. I'll play to zero people. I'll play on the street. I'll play in front of, you know, hundreds of people. But anybody who will let me play, I'll always come back. So, and I just happen to love it here, too.
Tell me about the first time you came to Lancaster for Launch. What was your impression of this town?
Well, I actually, it's funny, I remember really clearly the first time I ever drove into Lancaster, the first time I had my sunroof open, all of my windows down, and I was playing music very loudly, and it was just a really sunny day. It was an afternoon sometimes, so just like sun everywhere, and I was just astonished by how beautiful everything was. Like, all the buildings, there, like the vines growing up the brick walls, everything was so beautiful here. And that was the first time I ever saw downtown. And then when I realized how friendly and engaging everybody was here, and just what a creative community it was, I was so enamored instantly with this town.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah. That's great to hear. You know,
it's so true, though.
For those of us who are here and maybe can sometimes take things for granted.
Well, we all take everything for granted, and that's why when you have people come in, they're right. Like, "Do you realize how good you have it here? Because it's pretty good."
Have you been, Christopher? You've been here for a long time,
over 20 years. When I first came here, I thought I'd come to the end of the world.
Wow, that bad?
Really? Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, which is the cultural center of the universe, and I came here from two symphony jobs in Europe. I was playing in Seville, which is the definition of charm. And then I had a job in the north of the Netherlands, in Leeuwarden. I played with Het Fries Orkest, more cows than people.
Wow.
And then came here, and I thought, oh, my God, where am I? But I've grown to love it. I really have.
Well, you didn't leave.
I didn't
That's
leave.
True.
No.
Exactly.
And it grows and grows on you.
Yeah.
So what's your impression of the last, say 8 years of Lancaster?
I think it's really changed, don't you?
Yeah,
yeah
dramatically. I don't want to say dramatically. I think it's just the potential was there. There's been a wonderful foundation for the arts and the performing arts here that existed. But the city could have really gone one of two ways, right?
It could have just look at a lot of cities this size and this situation. I said it changed. I think you're right. It kind of manifested itself in a funny way. It was always a question of critical mass.
Exactly. Yeah. So the city could have developed in other ways, and there still would have been that same undercurrent, that same foundation for the arts.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have just been static.
Right.
And I think that what's happened is that Lancaster has embraced that side of culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been said again and again, but the county has had a reputation for a long time as being a tourist destination with different theaters. I mean, you have AMT and Sight and Sound theaters and different dinner theaters, Dutch Apple Dinner Theater and all that. And plus, different concerts, the Chameleon. But yeah, it's just been, I would say, in like the last 10 years that the city has been thriving. I mean, some people, when they think of Lancaster, they don't think of the city at all, or haven't until more recently in the past like 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's so many great places for art and music, and as a transplant as well. I'm from Vermont, and it's Aaron talking right now, by the way. But yeah, as a transplant, I kind of feel like I've been able to hang on to the appreciation. And Jason, you and I were talking about it earlier, of how we see that sometimes where people can kind of take it for granted. But yeah, I'm just really grateful to live in this kind of a community where I see a lot of people that care about each other and not just what they're into, but actually look after each other. And that's what helps people thrive mutually. And it's cool that Canyon, from someone who's also not from here, noticed that was an early thing that drew her.
Well, I think one of the cool things that Launch has done for the city in the last 5 years is, from a music scene perspective, it's introduced this town to people who aren't from here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
There, a great majority of the bands who play at Launch are not from this region, and a great minority of the bands from this region, participate in Launch for whatever reason.
Right.
But it for those of us who do participate, it's a great way to meet people and to be really hosts or ambassadors for the city to welcome these bands from other areas, and that's really helped introduce the city to musicians from around the country. It's been a great thing.
Yeah.
So Candy, you have 3 showcases this year, right?
Yep.
3 showcases. That's a lot. And mm-hmm. and you've got 2 local musicians, Aaron Gagne, one of them on percussion, and Taylor Brandt on violins. Tell me the story of how that came together.
it was very, I guess, just fortuitous the way it all kind of landed and aligned. How did it happen? Well, I was asked to play at a benefit for a small, I guess she was 5, I think she was 4 or 5, this small girl had osteosarcoma, and it was a benefit show here in town in Lancaster at TELUS 360, and it was being organized by Adam from the Pig Merchants, who is a local band that I've met and become very good friends with because of Launch. I met them several years ago. Anyways, they just kind of asked me one day if I would be willing to come down and play at this benefit. And it was a two-night kind of show. We did two shows, pretty much. The first show was at TELUS 360, and I saw Taylor play with Letitia. Yeah, Letitia Joy. And I remember kind of thinking as I was watching him play with her, like, wow, like, she is so lucky to have some, you know, fantastic guy, you know, backing her up. If I could ever have a violinist, I would totally want him to play just like that. And we ended up kind of talking, you know, all the musicians talked afterwards. And Letitia said she wasn't going to be coming back for the second night, second round of shows. And so Taylor said that he would come and play with me if I wanted. And then Adam recommended Aaron to me. And so pretty much it was, we just kind of got together and played. It's a really long, drawn out explanation.
So then how does that lead to Launch? When were those shows?
That was just a couple weeks ago, actually. Okay. So yeah, as you can see, I've been coming down more, even not for Launch now, because I have built relationships with this town.
Yeah, it's one of the spirits of Lancaster right now is that the city itself, the people who are a part of these scenes are interested in making things happen together.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has their own thing, and we're all kind of interested in contributing what we can contribute in a unique way.
Yeah.
But I think with an eye toward the bigger picture.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I should get down here more often.
You should.
I should.
Thanks. Hey, thanks, guys, for stopping in and jamming with us at the lounge, and good luck with all your showcases
at
Lounge.
Thank you for playing with me, too.
Oh, you bet. Here's a track from my next guest, who's been attracting a lot of attention over the past year with the launch of his solo career, along with the release of his debut EP, Trimmings. It's Douglas Thomas with Pebbles on Around the Wood Stove.
I can always tell when you are sleeping. You make ripples in my mind. Splash like a pebble, I can't see you. You sink to the bottom of my mind. You make my memory fish start swimming. Sensitivity to you. Swimming in curious circles, softly kissing you.
Tell me about the emergence of your solo project, because when it came out, like when you started doing solo stuff, like mm-hmm. it just seemed like all of a sudden, boom, like you were all over the place.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. I mean, there was just been a lot of buzz around it over the last year.
Awesome.
So I'm curious to hear that story because I knew you were a keyboard player and mm-hmm. then now you're fronting this project.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's really exciting. From my end, it can often just seem like an uphill battle, you know, so glad to hear there's been a buzz. You know, the project spawned from a really precise moment, actually. I was in China for 3 months, and I just kind of left the Dreamtime lines temporarily and my job's here, and I wasn't even sure if I was going to be moving back, and I was living there for 3 months with some friends from Lancaster and friends I had in China. And I just remember, like, sitting on top of this 60-story building that we had, like, kicked the door down to the top of, and we were up there on New Year's Eve, and there was just, like, you know, the whole city you could see. And, you know, I was trying to come up with my New Year's resolution, and I had had a lot of time in China by myself. I was just renting a place in the middle of Beijing, and I was writing a lot, and it, I just started to feel this like real momentum that I had to like record, like I had to like make a record, which I hadn't done before. I've been playing all music all my life, and I'm like, how have I not made a record? Like, I need to capture what's going on. So anyway, I basically decided I was going to fly back from China. Like, after I'd missed my flight, I like bought another ticket, came back, and just like hit the ground running. And started working at a farm to make money to pay my recording every night. And I worked with the same producer as the Dreamtime Lions did, Pete Barnhart.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, we cut the album really quickly in like 2 months, and just pushed hard after that. So,
did you do the most of that recording yourself then?
Yeah, I did. I did all the vocal harmonies. I did all the guitar parts, first and second. I did bass on a track, and then I brought in a cellist for two songs, Pebbles and Polonia. And yeah, I was orchestrating it all myself. And you know, I'm kind of into handwriting music. There was a friend of mine who inspired me to do that, so I started writing everything out by hand and giving it to players to work up to an album release show, which I did. I guess it was in July of last year, or June of last year. Yeah.
And what's happened since? Like, what's been the evolution of that project?
Well, bringing all those players together got me, like you were saying, really excited to just like fill out the sound a bit, mm-hmm. and let other people carry a little bit of the motion. And so that's what I did. I started playing with Rachel, who plays saxophone, oboe. She's a vocalist. She plays piano. She's a really diverse musician. Yeah. So she started filling in backup vocals. my friend Isaac kept doing cello. By that point, I picked up Ben Young, who's a bassist in town, plays with Morse Coda and Ghost House and a whole bunch of other projects in town. And eventually we finally picked up a set drummer because we had been playing without a drum set. And from there, like, the sound has really changed. I'm really excited about this new CD because it just displays like a much more, like a fuller, more progressive kind of sound for us. There are hints of it on the last album, like on the song Pebbles, there are a couple, you know, of odd time changes and things like that and some weird harmonies, but we really pushed in that direction much more on this next CD, which we've started and we're well into.
Yeah, it's interesting how, and I'm talking to Adam Rohr from the Pig Merchants and Douglas Thomas, how, you know, these projects grow organically out of a scene. I mean, I think that that's, you know, you have a core, you build a foundation for something, and then, you know, the people join you and it morphs. So it's almost like a lesson. Don't get too tied into one thing, right? Because it's organically going to change.
Right. Yeah. How we met Kimberly was just, I mean, I had known her before, but we met her. I mean, I saw her playing on the street, and that's how we decided to have her come in and sing a couple songs. I was like, wow, she has a great voice. I need to talk to her and see if she wants to play. And then our drummer, Jesse, is just a drummer for a local band, and he's a friend of mine. And so, yeah, like you said, it's just people in the community. And we just pick and choose, and it's fun just to play around and play together.
Now, Adam, you've been at, this is your second year at Launch with the Pig Merchants. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts about, you know, Launch? What are the benefits of playing?
For us, last year, I mean, it was our first experience last year, and it's our first experience doing anything like that was last year. And it was just really fun. I mean, we weren't really looking to grow ourselves as much, but I mean, we just had a great show and really great response. And then the day that we weren't playing, we just went and hung out and saw some of our friends play. And I mean, I've been to some other conferences like this, and this is by far the best. I mean, by far the most organized, and plus everything's so close together in the city. You can walk to everything.
That's one of the big highlights of Launch, is that you really, you know, you're right downtown, and it's 10 minutes from the furthest two venue, you know, to walk. So you can really skip around and, you know, catch 15 minutes of one set and 15 minutes of another set, mm-hmm. you know, in venues that are, you know, kind of far, you know, far away from each other relatively.
Sure.
But no, you know, you're not getting in a car and driving a half hour to go to another venue.
Right.
Have you, Douglas, have you done Launch previously?
No, this is my first year. Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, and what's your showcase?
It's at the Ware Center in the lobby from 6:15 to 6:45 tonight.
And what's that configuration? Who are you playing with?
Well, again, it's always a morphing, you know, group of people. But tonight I have Ben Young on bass guitar, and Rachel is playing oboe on one song and some alto sax on other songs and filling in voice, too. And then I'm doing lead vocals and guitar.
Nice.
Acoustic, yeah.
Hey, give me your thoughts just on being a musician in Lancaster and the Lancaster music scene right now.
I feel like Lancaster, and I hear a lot of people say this, is kind of at like a tipping point or sort of like a critical growth stage. And I've definitely been seeing that with music, especially over the last couple of years. I've been seeing it in the art scene, I feel like, a little bit longer. I've only been here for 10 years, but it's changed pretty rapidly since I've been here. And man, I just like see so many exciting acts coming out of Lancaster right now. And, you know, I see them in Philly quite a bit too, and like on bills in New York. And I just think that's like super exciting. I feel like people here are really like excited to support live music and local music, just like local everything. I mean, that's like a blessing here, is people want to support what grows here. I still feel like there's a lot of room for diversity of music genres. I think that, you know, people are interested in seeing experimental arts. I haven't quite seen that same growth and towards more experimental kinds of music. I would love to see some more listening venues here rather than just, you know, sort of hang out bars and stuff with music, which I think is great. But, you know, there's a place for listening musicians, too, who can't really fight the noise of the crowd. And sometimes I feel like I might fall in that category.
Right. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the Lancaster, on the, being a musician in Lancaster right now?
I think, I mean, for us, for Brad and I, the Pig Merchants, when we started playing, we were doing only like coffee shops, and not just in Lancaster. Just, he lives in Lebanon County, so we're doing them around there in Harrisburg and York, and some in Lancaster too. But I mean, one thing we didn't have when we were doing those was just the community feel, because we would play by ourselves. So I told him after like our first 6 months or year of playing, I was like, we need to start playing with some other bands. It's just a lot more fun when you share a bill or get to know other people. But since we've been doing that more, it's been, I mean, just a blast. I mean, we're doing exactly what we want to be doing. And as far as the music scene in Lancaster, it's phenomenal, I think. I travel around just to like where my parents live in the country, and just we've been other places, and nothing the size of Lancaster. There's got to be no city the size of Lancaster that has as good of a music scene. I mean, there's other places obviously who have good music scenes, big cities, but I mean, for what we have, I think it's pretty amazing.
Here's Adam Rohr and his band The Pig Merchants with "Waiting for a Word" from their debut album "On We Go" on Around the Wood Stove. At the Woodstove House, we look forward to staying connected with you. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter under the handle Woodstove House. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or sign up to get all of the Woodstove House blogs and podcast episodes delivered straight to your mailbox. Visit woodstovehouse.com and check the right-hand column for your options to stay in touch. Today on the program, it's conversations from the Launch Lounge at this year's Launch Music Conference and Festival on April 25th to the 27th in downtown Lancaster. The conference and festival welcome hundreds of musicians and music industry professionals and sponsors showcases on over a dozen stages over 3 nights. The Launch Lounge was a collaboration between GigSpots, Woodstove House, and our host, The Candy Factory. My bandmate and good friend Mark DeRose stopped by the lounge early on Saturday morning. Here's Mark DeRose on Around the Woodstove.
It's really cool to get to hang out with other local musicians, because so many other times you're always out playing and there's no time to hang out together. You know, you don't go see other people's shows because you're playing your own show. Right. So the chance to just hang out and spend time with other local musicians is fun.
Do you like playing Launch?
I do. I think it's a huge opportunity for the town of Lancaster to just have people coming in and seeing how cool the town is. It's neat to hear musicians from outside of the area go, oh my gosh, this, what a great little town, never even knew it was here, and just a cool place. So living here in Lancaster, it's neat to see that. I would love to see the festival side of it just become bigger in the sense of locals just being stoked about the idea that there's all this music, you know, infiltrating their town for the whole weekend. So it's cool.
Next up, Lancaster songwriter Gordon Smoker from Hickory Town Ruckus and Jay Tran and Logan Betts from Rock Paper Records in Harrisburg. We're talking Launch Music Conference 2013 on Around the Wood Stove. Gentlemen, let's talk about Launch. Gordon, tell me what... have you done Launch before?
This is my second time here as a performer, yeah.
What do you most get out of Launch as a musician?
The fact that I can network and meet a lot of people is great. And then it's nice getting a different perspective on what you're doing musically. So it's not this year, but last year, or not last year, but 2 years ago, I came for the first time and I showed up with my overalls and my hat and a little pad of paper that I wrote my email address on to give to people. I didn't have any recordings. I had a showcase, which went well, but I didn't have anything going on. But the nice thing is when I was there the first time, just getting some of that stuff, like things that seem kind of obvious to me now, but I didn't really think about them. They're like, Treat your music as a business, you know, do this, promote that. And so that kind of took me to where I am now, where I have a recording, I have a website, I'm a little... But then even this year, I've learned, now that I'm at a different place, I've learned, I'm listening for different answers and getting...
What's the next step, right?
Right, what's the next step? Now, where stuff that would have been completely irrelevant to me when I was here 2 years ago is now kind of, you know, where I'm looking to, where I wouldn't have even thought, because I didn't have a recording, so the idea of you know, maybe getting some airplay or whatever wasn't. So it was just, it was interesting this year, seeing not only how I've come as far as, like, you know, as a do-it-yourself musician, as far as, like, the stuff that I've been able to do over the past couple of years, but... It was just another good time learning from other musicians, hearing how people have, like, been successful or how they've not been successful in the past, and so you get some good, and then you meet some nice people. Like I said, I got to meet the DJ from the River, and you know, some of, there was like a promoter in Philly that I got to talk to, and just the musicians that you get to see.
That's great.
So, yeah.
Jay and Logan, you're coming from a different side.
Correct.
So yes. Tell me about, from Rock Paper Records, mm-hmm. out of Harrisburg. So what's the flip side of that for you guys? What do you benefit from by being members or attendees at Launch?
What we normally like to do is it's a networking thing. It's a presence, you know.
Yeah,
it's definitely just getting our name there. I don't think we're looking to truly gain anything except for that notoriety. I mean... There are some good submissions that end up in our box, and one thing that we pride ourselves on is always listening to those submissions, which is really cool. That's a fun part of our job,
for
you
sure.
Know what I mean? But I think other than that, it's mainly like, hey, we're here, we're a record label, check us out, we do things differently, and you know, if people like what we have going on, it spreads the word. It's almost that, it's definitely a fun, different approach to marketing, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think that touching on the networking part of it, it's when, you know, you just never know who you're going to meet. And I love kind of the surprise of that. You might meet someone that gives you a new idea that you can take back home with you and develop, or, you know, what following up with that particular contact will do. So, you know, just the kind of the surprise element of who you're going to meet and what that might spark is really a fun part of it as well.
Well, Launch is just like... I mean, think about it, right? Put the conference aside, even the festival aside. Even if you put all that stuff to the side, just the fact that there are several hundred people who do what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Musicians, managers, booking agents, and we're all in the same 3 or 4 block radius, so talk to people.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you plan on going to a festival like this, hopefully you have the mindset of wanting to network. It's almost that overwhelming sense of community. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You get to see what the town is made of, too. You know what I mean? How they accept the music, you know, how they run with it. You know what I mean? Is it well organized? Things like that. It's almost a passion-driven thing. You know,
totally.
Yeah, for sure.
Not every city jumps on opportunities like this. So the fact that, like, look, I grew up in Lancaster. I lived here pretty much all my life before I moved to Harrisburg. And from where it was when I was younger to what it is now is incredible, like night and day. Yeah. And the fact that they do things like this is pretty awesome. I would have to say, from a personal perspective, and I think Logan would agree, is this is probably the best, you know, in the 2 years we've been here, the best overall talent pool I've seen.
For like, sure.
There were so many shows I wanted to get to and see, and people we knew and had just a vested, you know, interest in wanting to go check out. So yeah, I was very excited about that as
That's
well.
That's cool.
Yeah,
I would agree. It's a great place to come to just as a music listener. I'm someone who enjoys just listening to songwriters to see what they've come up with.
Yeah.
And that's what I, even last year when I didn't come, I didn't submit as an artist, I was just sitting there at Dispensing Company listening to the people who came through.
Yeah. Here's a track from Gordon Smoker's Hickorytown Ruckus album, Who Stole the Banjo? This is Simple Pleasures on Around the Wood Stove.
Anyone who's tasted country air knows there's no room for care. As that wind sifts down through your soul, still it seems round every street, peddler says, I got what you need to put your heart at ease, but let it go and step it up. Underneath the mountains, trees and clouds, when you look down you don't have much. Out and you start looking up, and all the finer things in life that money buys, they don't compare to the things he made up there. So let it go and step it up. Sweet Allegheny breeze on a moonlit night, that's fast guitars and stomping feet. Simple pleasures of a simple life, yes, enough for me.
Another new friend from the weekend was Brooklyn-based singer-songwriter Lee J, who joined us at the Launch Lounge late on Saturday afternoon. Lee J, tell me about your music.
What would you like to know?
I would like to know, if I had never heard you before.
Yeah.
Let's pretend that I've never heard you before. I've never met you. That's right. So we're gonna make that easy. I was gonna come and see you play. Why would I come?
Well, this is a comparison that I've heard.
Sure.
A little bit of Fiona Apple and a little bit of John Mayer and Jimi Hendrix.
Okay. You play guitar?
I do.
Like Jimmy?
Not like Jimmy, but
are you the lead guitar player?
I deeply respect
in the band?
Him. No.
Okay.
When I'm solo, I am, I guess.
Yeah, right. You're everything when you're solo.
Yeah.
Do you play typically solo, or do you play with a band as well?
I've been playing solo since moving to New York, but a couple guys are going to come on board.
Great.
So we had our first like full band rehearsal on Thursday. Actually, I don't even know the bass player's last name right now. That's how new it is.
Bass players, man.
Yeah. Don't worry bass
about
players.
It. Don't worry about it. You don't need to know. I'm a bass player. That's why I can joke like that.
Nice.
How long ago did you move to New York?
I went to New York at the end of July and then decided to stay. So since the beginning of August, I guess.
Where from?
Seattle.
Interesting. Wow. Yeah. You don't hear that a lot. I mean, you know, a lot of people in that half of the country go to a place like Seattle. Lee J's latest record is called The Music Maker. Here's a taste. It's a song called I'm No Longer Looking Back on Around the Wood Stove.
I'm no longer looking back. I'm no longer looking back.
We wrapped up the conversation at the Launch Lounge, continuing our chat with musician Lee J and Logan and Jay from Harrisburg's Rock Paper Records. We're talking music conferences on Around the Wood Stove.
How was your Launch music conference, since we're kind of winding things down here?
It's been awesome. I have nothing but nice things to say. Although I was bummed today because I really wanted them to play one of, you know, the songs. They were doing the panel where they critique your music. And like, I saw the album. It was like, next. And then they announced like, okay, last song. And it wasn't. It didn't make it in.
Bummer.
Yeah. So, but that, I mean, if that's like the worst thing that could happen, it's, right, it's okay.
Well, how was that session? So you were at that session. What was it like? Overall, how what were the impressions that the panels were given?
They're hilarious.
Yeah,
it was like a comedy show.
Yeah, especially when
Chuck.
Oh
my god, it was so funny.
And who's then, Chuck? Tell me about Chuck.
Chuck is actually a good friend of mine. a business partner at one point. He is a really big manager now for a lot of national hard metal bands, like August Burns Red. He manages them. Cannibal Corpse, all those. Like, so he now lives in L.A., but he actually worked with me when I worked with at CI and stuff like that. So he taught me a lot of stuff, but he is known for being eccentric, over the top, and just no filter. Very himself.
Yeah,
and
it's
awesome. That's what's honest and awesome about the guy. Yeah, I have a lot of respect for him.
So when you say that it was kind of funny, were they ripping these bands? Or
he was pretty honest.
He was
for the most part. Yeah.
He was
yeah.
Yeah. It was nice, but he was cool about it. He was like, "Hey, just because I said it sucked doesn't mean you should keep going.
Yeah, keep doing your thing. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know." And he's like, "Hey, what do I know? I'm just one guy."
That's true.
Yeah. And
yeah,
I always thought that was really
I love commendable. That part of the festival. It's really neat.
It's a good panel.
And it's a good panel. It's you either can put things in perspective, or you just get a chuckle out of something sometimes that we take for granted or really serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, my art is number one. You know what I mean? Like, you get an outside perspective, and people are either going to joke like they did about it, be brutally honest, and you just take it with a grain of salt. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's a lot of fun. So
there was one track where it was just farting.
Yes, that
it was like
awesome.
A minute of farting. All the guys in the panel were like, yeah.
It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, that'd be pretty
awful.
Fun.
It
was their favorite track, I think they said.
No, the
oh, that's right.
The Creepy Bard.
Creepy Bard was the favorite.
Creepy Bard was the very, very top of the pile there.
As a musician, when you see a conference like this, what do you come to the conference to get? Like, what are you looking for?
Actually, you know what? I want to get into the festival circuit, so I thought this was like a good, you know, like it's definitely a step in.
Yeah,
hopefully
yeah.
The right direction.
A lot of people talk about these conferences as primarily a networking opportunity.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll pick up some nuggets of knowledge, and you might pick up a fan or two, you know, at a showcase, or be able to, you meet somebody, and so you're able to sort of demonstrate for each other what you do, which could help down the road.
Yep.
But primarily the number one thing people say is, well, I like to network and I want to meet other people, and I want to, you know, I want to meet people who are in the same boat that I'm in, because we can help each other in some way. So
yeah, sure. I look at festivals. There's many main reasons why people go to festivals. It's just like it's a one-stop shop, you know? And, but I think, even if you're a musician, you have to come with some sense of, I need to network and market myself and just put myself in a good position. It's like, you know, one common thing being in the industry and hearing from bands is always like, man, I don't know where to go to get, you know, get my presence out there. And well, in the last, 6 to 8 years, every type of festival has popped up all over the place. It's a great resource for bands. You know what I mean? There's workshops at some of these places. There's, you know, industry professionals. There's a chance to just showcase your music. So, you know, whether it be a Launch music conference or something as ginormous as South by Southwest or Coachella, like, there's something for everybody. You know what I mean? You just have to find it, want it, you know, and
And be smart about it. You know, you shouldn't go. I mean, unless it's your ultimate goal just to go and just hang out and just really feel the vibe, but you should almost plan for it. You know, it's your business that you're taking care of. You know
absolutely.
I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good advice. I'm glad you said that because I was shy away from like I know it's important to network, right? Yeah. Everybody says you got to go, you have to network. And yet there's something really nice about, at least for me, like meeting people just out of the blue. Yeah. And like there's like a natural chemistry instead of it being like, okay, these are the five people I have to find today, because I've done that before and I feel like it's awkward. Sure. And you go in with these like expectations and like 10 other people bombard the panelists, 10,000 or however many people bombard them afterwards, and it's probably, I mean, I'm just awkward anyway, so it's probably even double.
And it's probably overwhelming to them too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they almost have a target on their back and everybody wants to talk to them, and it's like as soon as I step foot off the stage, I mean, you know, and the musicians or the people that want to talk to them, they're like, talk about being tiny fish going towards one big
algae to eat.
That is it.
There it is.
That's the one.
There it is.
I was a loss for words. That was awesome.
I don't know what fish, some of they eat.
Some of them, yeah.
Some of them, yeah. Why not?
Check out launchmusicconference.com for all the details about this annual music conference and festival. It happens during the last weekend of April each year, right here in downtown Lancaster. Thanks to everyone who stopped by the Launch Lounge. And big extra special thanks to Sam Campbell from GigSpots and Jennifer Dunn from the Candy Factory for hosting the Launch Lounge with me this year. Check out the show post for today's episode at our website, woodstovehouse.com, to link up to all of our guests and find out more info on upcoming events that we featured at the top of the show. While you're there, you can check out past episodes of this program or leave a few bucks in the tip jar to help us do what we do. If you like what you hear, please drop a comment on the show post, give us a good rating on iTunes, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. Around the Wood Stove was produced at the Wood Stove House in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. You can find us online at woodstovehouse.com.